This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind Original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
A slammer for Nolan Arenado!
Now, from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, here's Tom Ackerman on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
From Jupiter, Florida, the spring training home of the Cardinals, it is great to be along with you, and we'll be here until we go to the Cardinals at 11:55 for the pregame. Ollie Marmol, Cardinals manager, is gathering reporters right now outside the clubhouse, and he is about to tell them his 26-man roster. So we will pass that along to you as soon as he finishes that media session, and we will have reaction from Bernie Miklas coming up in 8 minutes, and we will also have John Mozeliak, Cardinals president of baseball operations, to follow up on that with us at 11:30 this morning. So plenty of Cardinals talk, as you can imagine, from here in Jupiter. We are situated here on the final day as the Cardinals take on the Nationals, and then they will fly to Memphis and will take on the Redbirds tomorrow. And then it's the home game, the home opener, on Thursday against the Minnesota Twins. And we will finally know who is the starting rotation, what's the plan there, what are they going to do in center field, what does the bench look like, the bullpen, etc. It all comes down to today, and Ollie Marmol is going to talk to reporters outside the clubhouse here in just a little bit. I had somebody reach out to me on Twitter and said, are you going to talk NCAA basketball today? do you not know me by now? Yeah, we're going to talk about March Madness. There's no question. I mean, the Illini play today against Kentucky, for crying out loud. So I appreciate that reach out, and absolutely we are. We're also going to talk about, there's a lot going on, the St. Louis Blues. Man, oh man, did they have a game last night and an emotional, classy surrounding moment with Pat Maroon. He announced before the game that he was going to retire at the end of the season, and the St. Louisan, the Oakville native, received a rousing ovation. He, of course, was one of the major stars of that 2019 Stanley Cup run with his goal against the Dallas Stars and in Game 7. And, you know, just an all-around great guy to be around and somebody that we can call our own. It was incredibly classy that the Blues made him the number one star last night at Enterprise Center as the Blues beat the Blackhawks 4-1. Meanwhile, the Blues, folks, are chasing down the number one wildcard spot in the Western Conference. No, really, they are. They are now the number two wildcard team in the West. And the Blues have a little bit more to go here. They have a game today against the Predators. That will be game number 72. So with 10 games to go after that, we'll see if they can get two more points. They're 6 points behind the Wild. for the number one wild card spot in the Western Conference. They're 2 points clear of Calgary and now 3 points clear of Vancouver for that final spot. What a great run this has been. The Blues have won 5 in a row. You talk about March Madness. They have been on a tear in the month of March. They started it by beating the Kings. Then they lost to Dallas, and they beat the Kings and the Ducks on the road. Then they had those two losses to L.A. The bad one was to Pittsburgh. The L.A. loss was an overtime loss. But they've ripped off 5 in a row since they lost that game at Pittsburgh. Minnesota on the road, Anaheim at Nashville, Vancouver, and home against Chicago. And now Nashville today. What a great run for the Blues. They face off at 5 o'clock today. And we'll talk a little hockey later in the hour. I also have City lined up today with their sporting director, Lutz Vandensteel. They lost to Bradley Carnell last night. 1-0 to Philadelphia. We'll talk to Lutz about that. I mentioned John Mozeliak is going to be with us. Bernie Miklas, of course, coming up next. And I do want to ask Bernie, and we will talk a little bit about Brian McKenna. I am just, as many of you are, heartbroken about the passing of Brian McKenna, one of the St. Louis sportscasters that I admired when I was growing up in St. Louis. I graduated from high school in 1993. And as I was making my way through the latter years of high school and beginning college, I came back to St. Louis and often would listen to sports radio. And I loved listening to Brian McKenna and Mike Claiborne and a number of others. And what I liked about all of them was that they were familiar voices. So it was great to hear my fellow St. Louisans talking. What I loved about Brian McKenna was that he was one of us. You know? I mean, when he talked about sports and he gave an opinion on sports, he was giving it as one of us, a fan. And that's what I was when I was listening to him in those early years. And then he continued on to be that person. You know, he didn't sugarcoat anything. He told it like it was, how he felt. And not only that, but he gave his heart to charity. He gave his heart to people. He always treated me well, but I was like everybody else. He treated everybody well. Big smile on his face, incredible sense of humor. He was a big part of our business. And when sports radio was really rocking here in St. Louis, Brian McKenna was one of those great smiling faces that you looked forward to seeing at events. And we will miss him dearly. He was physically going through so much with his treatments. And then for this to happen, a car accident on Hampton where he was hit, is just so hard to digest. We'll take a break. We're going to come back, talk to Bernie Miklas, and we're going to talk about a number of sports subjects. It is a very busy time. McKenna would absolutely be ready to roll up his sleeves and talk about it today, that's for sure. Sports on a Sunday morning coming to you from Jupiter, Florida. I'm Tom Ackerman. We'll be back right after this.
Once again, from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, here's Tom Ackerman on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
I have two words for you. Bernie Miklas. Saliga Heating and Cooling is our sponsor of this segment with Bernie Miklas. We move him around sometimes. We have him at 11:45, but because of the early Cardinals start, he gets to join me as my first guest today on Sports on a Sunday Morning, and it is my pleasure, sir. How are you?
I'm doing good, Tom. I hope you're doing well. I know you're struggling a little bit. You're playing hurt. We all appreciate your effort. Thank you, my friend.
I appreciate that. I'm feeling great. I'm actually surprised that I have this much energy. I think it's the sports that does it to me. I really do. I love talking about it. I wanted to continue a thought real quick that I had before the break and let you discuss and talk and reminisce about Brian McKenna, because if there was anybody who gave us energy and you could just feel the energy coming off of him when he talked about the St. Louis sports scene, it was Brian McKenna. I am just, as you are, just completely heartbroken over this.
Yeah, listen, man, we're never promised anything in life, but you just hope that it's a fair fight. And what I mean by that is, of all the people I've known in the media, in sports media in St. Louis, I don't think I've ever seen anyone as passionate or have as much energy and as much zeal for life than Brian McKenna. He was a unique individual in so many ways. You know, his personality, his dedication to charitable causes, to doing things to help St. Louis police and people in need. He was relentless in terms of raising funds. He was outspoken and very fiery when he was really feeling something. And I would always tell him as a friend, I said, you know, with kind of a smile, I'd say, dude, you know, calm down a little. It's going to be okay. And he said, I can't do it, big dog. I'm fired up about this. And he, when I say like, you just hope that we all get a fair shake in life, right? It no one's guaranteed, but for Brian McKenna to so valiantly and courageously battle a really, really difficult fight with cancer and to overcome it and to beat it. And then for him to, you know, pass away in the manner that he did, that's what I'm talking about when I say, man, it just wasn't fair where he's concerned. I mean, just, man, when you beat cancer like that, you should live till you're 95 or whatever. But so it's a big loss because he was special to a lot of people, and he was kind of like the team captain of the South Side or something. I mean, you know, he's like a legend in South City, which I loved about him as well.
I know. I loved hearing about his Dogtown experience. He was big time when it came to that St. Patrick's Day parade. He was there recently. And so when I heard the news, it just hurts. And I know that those are very beautiful words on your part, and I just appreciate it. And I think that my hope is that he's laughing up there and smiling and hearing us and saying, all right, let's go. Let's talk about this Cardinals roster. This team, he'd be like, this team, what are they doing? I mean, what are they doing? You know, so what are they doing? They're talking right now, Bernie, about the 26-man roster. At this moment, Ollie Marmol is speaking to reporters outside the clubhouse and giving his reasoning for keeping who and letting so-and-so go back to Memphis. We'll get that report, and I think it's appropriate that we're not doing it at this moment on KMOX, and that the reporters who have been covering the beat since early February and have come here every day get that news, and then we'll have John Mozeliak react to it here at 11:30 on KMOX. But if I get something here, I'll pass it along. But just your hopes as to what the Cardinals are going to do roster-wise.
Man, I feel like this is, you know, waiting like an award ceremony, like the Grammy or the Oscar. It's like, you know, is Ollie Marmol going to open the envelope, the center field envelope, and say, and the winner is Victor Scott? That's the one thing that I care about the most, frankly. You know, we know who the nominees are, but who's going to be the winner in center field? I mean, I don't know about you, my friend, but I don't see how he can be denied at this point. Gosh, what an incredible spring. And I know he put up good numbers last spring, but his numbers this year were very, very different, dramatically so, in terms of power and hard contact and extra base hits. Like, he hit for average last spring, but not much power. But this guy's got a whole new batting stance, batting approach. I mean, he's changed some things. John Jay's helped make him a much better center fielder. I don't know what you could ask a 24-year-old guy who has worked like a maniac to improve and to put up the spring that he did. I don't know how you could deny him that job. I really don't.
No, I hear you, and I feel the same way. I'm on Team Victor here, and you know, I've gotten to see him improve from year to year. I think most of all, Bernie, this team, why not do it now? This team has some excitement and some energy right there in his uniform number 11. I'm having some fun with it, and while I'm at it, I might even let Matthew Liberatore let it rip. I don't know if they're going to do that either, but they'll announce that too about what their rotation looks like, and I'll go a step further. I'd like to, if it doesn't happen on next week, I'd like to see Michael McGreevy taking the ball in St. Louis sooner than later. I mean, let's go. He looks really good to me.
Yeah, Tom, I want to ask you, man. I know you asked the questions on Sports on a Sunday morning, but I got one for you, my friend, which is the Liberatore thing. I'm not going to say I've been sleeping on it, but I know he's been special, and I know that my feeling has always been he's never gotten a full opportunity as a starter. So what I've been asking you is, like, what do you think the chances are he actually makes the rotation coming into the regular season? Because I have just kind of discounted that, and I think that, you know, frankly, I may have underestimated the opportunity
I think if they come up with a plan, and they've already said he's on the team, so he's going to be kind of a, you know, starter reliever is what is he going to be. I think that they may just keep him in that sixth starter role and let McGreevy start in Memphis is my guess. And then they put Mats in the rotation. I know that's not what everybody wants to see necessarily, but I think that's what they'll do. He threw a lot of pitches yesterday in his four innings. Not that that matters whether they're going to keep him or not. He looks to me like a power lefty starter that could be great for a long time. He's in good shape. He's got a good attitude about it. He's got a great mentor in Sonny Gray, who's taught him a lot of things. I feel really good about Matthew Liberatore as a starter. Are they going to make that move? If I had to prognosticate, I would say that he's not one of the five, but that they are interested in having him perhaps back up as a six. I don't know. But they put themselves in an interesting situation here.
Well, and to your point about McGreevy, listen, I believe we're going to see him, obviously, during the regular season, if in fact he's optioned to Memphis at some point today or tonight. But it's a little frustrating because he performed beautifully this spring as well. But he will get his chance. Listen, whether we all agree or disagree about the Cardinals and what they've decided to do with the rotation, they're going to do what they want to do. And so there's no reason to kind of just, I always use a phrase, I got a big office door here. I'm not going to bang my head against a door and split my forehead open because the Cardinals are going to make their decision. So I just hope that McGreevy gets a chance, a full chance at some point this season, and later on Quinn Matthews also gets a chance. A lot of it depends on how the team comes out of the gate the first 6 weeks, 2 months. And I never root for anyone to get hurt. In fact, I hope Steven Matz has a healthy season. The guy cares, and it's not like he's dogging it or he's laughing. It's like, oh, man, I'm hurt again. So what? I'm making all this money. You know, I think he really feels an obligation to come through for the Cardinals. You know, I think he feels bad about his injury issue. So that's not a guy I can root against, frankly, because, he's a human being and he cares and he wants to do well for the Cardinals.
Yeah, he's a great athlete, which, goes against the fact that he's getting hurt all the time, but he really fields his position well, and he's been going pretty well down here. So perhaps they'll let that ride for a little bit and be ready with Liberatore if they have to. Bernie, a couple of things before we go. You know, the Cardinals get a lot of attention, and rightfully so. They are a monster in this market. But the St. Louis Blues, my friend, are knocking on the door of a playoff spot, and they are on fire right now. I mean, is this basically – what do you make of this? Is this just the Jim Montgomery effect that he has transformed this team into a power?
Yeah, I mean, Doug Armstrong gets credit for just saying, okay, it's not fair to Drew Bannister, but sometimes you got to do what you got to do. And he wanted Jim Montgomery to be the coach of this team all along. And the Bruins made the mistake of firing Monty, and, Armstrong pounced, as he should have. And I'm so glad that he did. The Blues are the best 5-on-5 team in the NHL since he took over. And, yeah, they had some ruts. I mean, they had some problems. It wasn't like they were going to be this perfect machine the whole way through. He had a lot of things to work on, like establishing a winning culture, things like that. And making the players understand what the expectations are for each of them. So it took a little while to sort some things out. But I tell you what, man, you go back to February 8th, and, that's 16 games ago for the Blues. They're 12-2-2. They have the most points in the NHL, and they have the best points percentage, 813 in the NHL. And they've been scoring during this 12-2-2 run. This is just a phenomenal statistic. They've scored 63% of the 5-on-5 goals in the competition. When Drew Bannister was the coach, no, not taking a shot at him, it's just a fact. The Blues were scoring 42% of the 5-on-5 goals. So during this hot streak, the Blues are like 20% better in terms of the goal share at 5-on-5. And they're strong in all areas. I mean, the power play's good. I mean, the penalty killing's been really great, except that one day in Dallas. This is a really impressive team. And look at what he's done with the young players. Look at how these young forwards and some of the young defensemen have really come on. So I think it's all clicking. And if I could throw this in real quick, I looked at Money Puck today, and the Blues have a 44% chance of making the playoffs, which is well above Calgary at 33%, Vancouver at 14%, and Utah at 14%. So they are in position to do this. And they got that game, the home game against Nashville today. And I know it's tough to just, you know, basically demand the Blues win every game, but they got to win this one today, even though the schedule's been pretty, you know, pretty heavy here lately.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about that. It's going to be a lot of fun if that place is rocking here. I am just getting word that here the following is about to be announced by the club. Let me see if I can get this just right. So the Cardinals are going to announce that they have reduced their roster to 27 players, with three players moving to minor league camp and Zach Thompson to be placed on the injured list. Prior to today's game, the Cardinals optioned infielder Jose Fermin and pitcher Michael McGreevy to Memphis, and they reassigned Jose Barrero to Memphis. So they have whittled this roster down to 27, not 26. They say that the 26-man roster will be submitted on March 27th. So this thing is not done yet. Again, Fermin, McGreevy to Memphis, Barrero to Memphis, and that's where it stands right now. I was told it was okay to go ahead and pass that along.
Well, I don't know what to say, because it's always tough for me when I hear something right away, like to analyze it. But I mean, what are your thoughts on this? Do you think that the one thing that's still up for grabs in terms of a decision is in fact the center field spot, or
yes,
yeah,
because
it seems that way
because Victor is not on this list. So there you go. So we'll continue to follow this thing. That's interesting. McGreevy and Thompson on the IL tomorrow will actually get them to 26 players. So there you go.
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't even think about it that way. Yeah, see?
Yeah, so
you're sharp, man. You're on top of your game. So that's I guess that means Victor Scott's on the club.
That means he's on the club. Now we're going to get a reaction from that here in just a little bit. I will hear what Ollie Marmol had to say to reporters. We also will hear from John Mozeliak in an hour. So wow, all right,
11:30, right? 11:30.
Yeah, let's hear from Ollie Marmol and get his, official reasoning and all of that stuff here, because I know, again, he's talking to reporters. But I appreciate it, Bernie. Thank you so much for the time.
Okay, thank you. And also, as always, thanks to Saliga Heating and Cooling for sponsoring my appearance on Sports Open Line. I'm just trying to rush off. You know what I'm talking about. I'll see you, buddy. Thank you.
Sports on a Sunday morning. Love you, buddy. Thank you.
See you, buddy.
We'll be back in just a moment from Jupiter, Florida on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Gray Bar Sports on a Sunday morning. Once again, from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, here's Tom Ackerman on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Well, once again, the big news that has just come down, it is going to be Victor Scott at center field. Bernie Miklas and I were just talking about it. I had been given some info by the team that I could go ahead and talk about the changes that they made today to the roster. Let me go through them one more time, and then we're going to bring in our guest, Jared Carrabas. Cardinals have announced their spring roster reductions, and here they are. They announced today that they reduced their spring training roster to 27. Three players moved to the minor leagues, and Zach Thompson is placed on the IL, so that gets it to 26. Jose Fermin, the infielder, pitcher Michael McGreevy, they are optioned to AAA Memphis, and they've reassigned non-roster infielder Jose Barrero to Memphis. So the Cardinals have taken not one but two of their bench candidates, Fermin and Barrero, and have put them in Memphis with McGreevy. And that means that Victor Scott has not only made the team, but as we've said about a million times, if Victor Scott makes this team, he's going to play in center field. So he is the starter in center field. Wow. The people's choice. Victor Scott II is your center fielder on opening day. How about that? So that means Michael Ciani's on the team. Ciani will be a backup outfielder. The Cardinals bullpen, no shocker there. So that means Helsley, Maton, Romero, Fernandez, King, Matz, Leahy, and Roycroft. And yes, I said Matz because the reporters who were just talking to Ollie and asking him about the rotation, and we're talking about Katie Wu and Derek Gould, as well as John Denton of MLB.com, is that Matthew Liberatore is going to be the fifth starter on this team. and Steven Matz will be in long relief. Folks, this is exactly the rotation. Although McGreevy, I'm sure you wanted him on the club that you wanted. I'm sorry for the long wait for Jared Karabas, but he joins us now on KMOX. Huge news just coming in from the Cardinals. We've been waiting all spring training for this. Jared, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing great. So that's that. The Cardinals, who are trying to do both, be a champion eventually, but also try to grow their minor league system, have given runway here to some of their young players. That's pretty exciting. Let me give a little background about you. You and I share something, and that is Underdog. I also work with them. You've been working with them, and you do wonderful baseball coverage with Dallas Braden and other big names coming to St. Louis on opening day. We can't wait to have you.
Yeah, man, it's very exciting. I've been waiting to come to St. Louis for a long time. I'm now in the single digits of ballparks remaining that I haven't been to, St. Louis being one of them. But we will be in St. Louis for opening day. Very excited to get down there and talk with all the fans.
That's awesome. We can't wait to have you. It is one of the classic ballparks, as I'm sure you've heard. And what else have you heard about St. Louis, the baseball town, as we get ourselves ready for another season, our 134th, Jared?
Yeah, no, I'm pretty good buddies with Nolan Arenado. He loves the fan base there. You know, I've heard nothing but great things about the fans, about the area around the ballpark. So it's something that, you know, when you're just a baseball fan in general, which I don't expect you to know this, but I was on MLB Network recently and I was wearing a Kansas City Royals jacket, and I had people being like, how are you a Red Sox fan, but you're wearing a Royals jacket? I'm like, because I'm a baseball fan. Like, I'm a baseball fan first, and St. Louis is one of those meccas of baseball where, you know, you hear about the great fans all the time and how they just get it and they understand and appreciate the game of baseball. They know the rules inside and out. And, you know, it's one of those rare markets where you might see a standing ovation for the other team, given if it's a great performance or not. And I love that.
I love that. That's a really good explanation about the beauty of our game. And let me return the favor and say that in 2013, covering the Cardinals in the World Series against the Red Sox at Fenway Park, I don't know that I've ever been treated better by a staff. You know, the staff at Fenway, they treated us like gold. And I will say that the fans, who were boisterous without a doubt, when you pulled them aside, boy, they know the game. I mean, they knew our lineup. Oh, yeah. They knew everything about us. That is a great, great baseball town in Boston.
Yeah, you have to be well-rounded if you're going to be a baseball fan in Boston. It's really cool. You know, especially now because of social media, you get to see the conversations that other fan bases are having on like a public scale, and they know the farm system. They know, you know, when it comes time to talk trades, they know who the best players are on the other teams. And it's just been really cool to see the growth of, you know, the fan base on a public scale like that.
When you come here on opening day, what else will you do in terms of interacting with fans? What will you be talking about our great company Underdog that we've both been doing a lot with?
Yeah, so we're going to be doing some man on the street stuff. I want to get out there in the streets of St. Louis and get to speak to some of the Cardinals fans that are out there. We're going to get their thoughts on the team and some different opinions on just maybe baseball related things that are going on in the league, league wide. And then we're going to be doing a live stream. So it's going to be us just watching all the games for the entire day and just reacting to all the action, Major League Baseball, for the whole day.
Wow, that's great. When you look back at last year and the Dodgers winning the World Series, you know, you really think about it. I know they got it done, but having a monster payroll, it helps, but it doesn't guarantee that you're going to win a championship. It'll be hard for them to do it again. Are there any teams that you identify starting in the National League that could give them trouble?
Oh, no doubt. And I think the big thing about the Dodgers, too, is people forget how close we were to the Dodgers being a first-round exit. You know, they were very close to losing that series to the San Diego Padres in the division series. And I know that after it was all said and done, the players on the Dodgers looked back and said, like, that was the World Series for us. But I think when you look at the landscape of the playoff picture, you know, you're looking at the Los Angeles Dodgers as the heavy, heavy favorite. You can kind of already put them into the postseason. But those aforementioned Padres, that's a team that you have to look out for. The Diamondbacks in the same division, the Cubs, then you have the Braves, the Phillies, the Mets. Like, I think if you were to power rank the best teams in Major League Baseball, it's especially now because of all the injuries that the Yankees have just sustained in spring training alone, you might see four or five National League teams before you see a single American League team.
Huh. Who do you like in the American League?
Man, it is it's tough because I think the Yankees probably have the best odds, but I don't like their chances. Like, I just think that it, you know, the best teams are in the National League. The Yankees probably have the best team in the American League, but I don't like their team, especially now they just had Clark Schmidt go on the injured list to start the year. Like, Carlos Rodon is their only dependable starter that they have. Then you have the Red Sox. I think the Orioles really need to take a step forward, but they had a super disappointing offseason. Then in the Central, it's like, well, can the Tigers repeat what they did last year? They didn't really do anything crazy in the offseason either. They whiffed on Bregman. He went to Boston. I think the Royals are an interesting team because of their starting staff and their young players. Obviously, Bobby Wood Jr. being one of the best, you know, top three player in Major League Baseball this year. The Royals are a team to pay attention to. The Mariners, like, that's another team where it's like, all right, great rotation, but what did you do to make the offense better in the offseason? Nothing. The Astros traded their best player in Kyle Tucker. The Rangers, like, that could be a team that, you know, they make it to the playoffs, but a lot of health issues in their rotation. Like, there's no one in the American League that you could just pinpoint and be like, yep, like, that's the team. Like, the American League is wide open this year.
It really is. You know, and Cardinals fans sit here and they are not really sure what to make of all of this. They're used to winning. They understand that you have to reload. They just don't love sometimes the way the team goes about that and communicates that. But I will say, sure, that today's news that I was just kind of sorting through before I had you on, I think will inject a little life into the fan base. They love Victor Scott, and he's got a ton, yeah, of speed and power. I think that could be interesting. So that'll be a fun little thing for you on Thursday. That's going to sell a few extra tickets. They'll come close, if not sell out, this opening day, and there's absolutely nothing like it, Jared.
No doubt. Yeah. I mean, it's going to be an exciting team. And Victor Scott, Jordan Walker, you got Mason Winn at the top of the lineup there. Lars Nootbaar, I know that his World Baseball Classic appearance made him super, super popular. And then you've got Wilson Contreras and Nolan in the middle of that lineup. Are you surprised that Nolan's still on the team?
A little bit, yeah. I thought they were going to trade him and made it a point to do so. But when he came back, I'll say that I'm a little selfish and I like star power. So, you know, I like, sure, watching him play. I want, you know, I get to do a handful of games. I like calling games when he's doing his thing and making plays at third base and hitting bombs. And, you know, I root for him as a person, and I hope that he gets back and does a really nice job.
Same. I think, you know, in terms of getting to know players throughout the league over the years, he's one of those guys that you can really only match his compete level. It's very difficult to exceed it. This is a guy that works every single day to be better. And, you know, he's been one of my favorite players in baseball since obviously the Colorado days, but it's been cool to watch him evolve as a player and a person. But this guy, I mean, all he cares about is winning. So I hope that he gets to experience that in St. Louis.
Jared Carrabas, who does a lot with Underdog, just a fantastic, all you have to do is Underdog, you know, download that app and get after it. And I've talked about it now for months. Do that. But he also hosts some great podcasts, and he's involved, I know, with Nesson and 98.5 The Sports Hub up in Boston, et cetera. It's going to be great to have you in St. Louis. Hopefully we can run into each other that day.
I would love to do that. Yes, please reach out. Let's get together. And I'm very excited to be in St. Louis.
Where can people find you? Cardinals fans find you, Jared?
Yeah, I'm on Twitter at Jared_Carrabas. I know I'm a Red Sox fan, but I live tweet all the games. I'm actually in the middle of working on a TV wall in my house that has 9 TVs. So I'm I'm watching all the games every single day. I'm live tweeting all the action. I'm sharing highlights from action around the league. So whether you're a baseball fan or, you know, you want to get on the action with Underdog, I'll have the highlights for you. Don't worry about it.
Let me tell you, you're good for the game. That is good. I like that a lot. I can't wait to see that. I appreciate you, Jared. Thank you for the time on KMOX.
Thank you so much. We'll do this again soon.
Yep, Jared Karabas with us on KMOX. We're going to take a break. We'll talk some hockey, and we'll continue on with sports on a Sunday morning, leading you up to Cardinal baseball right here.
Here's Tom Ackerman on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Florida, how about that news? Victor Scott is your starting center fielder. Matthew Liberatore is in your rotation. Steven Matz, the long man of the bullpen. I like Matz in the bullpen. It's not a demotion. I mean, you need him to pitch multiple innings, and he may have to jump back into the rotation. This is going to be a nice-looking team. Fermin and Barrero go to Memphis. You can go get them if you need it. McGreevy's the only one maybe some people are hung up on, but McGreevy's going to be the ace of the Memphis staff. And you know how this game works. I mean, you're going to need Michael McGreevy. And the last time you called him in, all he did was be lights out. So I think it's a really nice setup for Cardinals fans. And I think this puts a little life into 2025 to start to have Victor Scott running around center field. I'll tell you what, Enterprise Center was full of life last night. One of my personal favorites that I've ever covered, Pat Maroon talking to Darren Pang before the game on the Blackhawks broadcast.
When you look around here and see so many friends and old teammates, what's it like for you?
It's tough. It's sometimes you got to give up everything you know and everything you dreamed of your whole life. And I just know it's time for me and it's time for my family to go start a new chapter in our lives. And, you know, to get to have a special moment tonight and be in St. Louis to have my family come in town. And I won a Stanley Cup here. And, you know, I'm just going to finish this year as every game is going to be my last game. You know, like, I'm going to play as hard as I can and do everything I can to keep winning hockey. And so, yeah, it's, this is all I know, Panger. So it's tough. I mean, no, it's hard to go through things like this. You can't really process it, but I think it's best for me and my family to go start a new chapter.
Love those two guys right there. And he said right there at the end, he said, I love you, Panger. Darren Pang and Pat Maroon, two who have been very much touched by the St. Louis fan base. And for Pat, I mean, for him to be able to come back to St. Louis and win a Stanley Cup is just storybook stuff. And now he gets to celebrate that for the rest of his life. He can come back to St. Louis, be in that Blues alumni suite, work in wherever he wants to work in St. Louis, have an ice cold one, and just take in some hockey and be with us, you know? I mean, he is one of my favorite guys. And not only that, but the Blues don't win the Stanley Cup without Maroon. Not just the goal in Game 7 against the Stars, but Maroon was the guy who in that dressing room would go to players. So if there was a problem going on between two players, he would go up to them. He'd say, you and you, you need to work it out, okay? We are one unit. That's what we do. We are one unit. And he was the glue in that locker room. And there were times where it was not fun. I mean, this team was getting beat. They were near rock bottom. They made the switch to Craig Berube, and they took off. And if you notice, and I know you all do, when Maroon scores that goal against Dallas, who's the first person that he goes and hugs? He goes right to Berube. He goes right to Chief. Gives him a big hug on that bench. Of course, he was later lifting the Stanley Cup and that iconic picture on the team flight home with Ryan O'Reilly with the Stanley Cup in Patrick's hands and the Conn Smythe trophy in O'Reilly's hands. Just, man. And I get chills just thinking about that year and what that meant to us in St. Louis. He's a champion. He'll always have it. The first Stanley Cup champion in St. Louis. We're going to take a break. When we come back, the Illini would like to win a championship, and I'm going to tell you why there's a chance they could make a run. That's coming up next after the news. You're listening to KMOX.